Coming up in this tribute to Brian Clough's Picasso, John Robertson, an exclusive interview with his friend and former Nottingham Evening Post journalist, John Lawson.
I think one of the reasons why Brian used the Picasso analogy was because of the pure entertainment value that he brought to people. He was an artist at work.
Robertson never forgot John's help in bringing his skills to Clough's attention in those early days.
I've always maintained that Robbo's given me more pleasure than any other footballer I've seen.
You'll also hear tributes from some of Robertson's former teammates, including Colin Barrett.
He was a talented, talented boy who basically didn't know his own ability, but he was just sensational.
And Martin O'Neill.
He was a magician, absolute magician, you know, really, really, really great player. So influential.
Of course, there's the ultimate praise from Cloughy himself, even if some of it is a bit tongue-in-cheek.
John was the type that you wanted with you all the time if you were on television, for example, because he would make you good-looking. Give him a football on a football field, and he made Errol Flynn look like Groucho Marx in looks.
Hello, I'm Marcus Alton from the website brianclough.com. Welcome along to this special tribute to the man Brian Clough called a genius with the ball at his feet. John Robertson was my boyhood hero, and I loved watching him beat defenders on Nottingham Forest's left wing, whether it was a cold night at Gig Lane, Bury, or the European Cup final at the Bernabeu. I remember being at Old Trafford the night he scored the winning penalty to secure Cloughy's first major trophy for Forest, the League Cup. Colin Barrett used to play alongside him on the left. He told me how John became central to Clough's message.
Cloughy used to say, get the ball and give it the little fat so-and-so on the line and then we'll go from there. Robbo was one of these players who would always receive the ball no matter what was... You know, how tight he was being marked, it was always available. He'd always make sure that if he couldn't get it, you know, there was something else on. But he was a talented, talented boy who basically didn't know his own ability. But he was just sensational.
John's friend and teammate, Martin O'Neill, told me just how much he admired those magical skills.
John was a great, great player. To me, most influential player at Nottingham Forest, playing the fulcrum of the team and yet playing wide left-hand side, getting the ball out to, as Brian Clough might say, this little fat lad, you know. And he was a magician, yeah. Absolute magician, you know, really, really, really great player. So influential.
Now, I was lucky enough to interview John several times, not only for The Green Jumper, which was one of his last interviews, but also at the launch of his book Supertramp and on stage at Nottingham Council House to celebrate the Brian Clough statue. I asked him if he could remember the day Cloughy arrived at the City Ground all those years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I remember it as if it was yesterday. The dressing room is a sort of square shape, and there's two doors, an inner door and an outer door, and both were open, and I was sitting opposite them. And I remember this man coming around the corner, walking into the dressing room, and as he walked in, whipping his jacket off and hanging on the peg, and that alone in itself said to me, this guy means business. So from the start, I thought, well, there's a whirlwind going to be coming through here, and I wasn't wrong.
Following the sad news that John has passed away at the age of 72, I've been speaking to his friend and former Nottingham Evening Post journalist John Lawson, who also helped him write his autobiography. John was the Nottingham Forest reporter at the Post way back in the 70s, and I asked him about his earliest memories of Robertson.
Well, he was, around about 20-ish at the time, playing in the reserves mainly, but on the fringe of the first team, shall we say. But you always looked at Robbo and thought, well, I did anyway, and thought, you know, you should be doing better than this because you've got so much natural talent. In those days, of course, he was a central midfield player. And I think Alan Brown, who was manager at the time, sort of felt as if he didn't quite have the time to sort of portray his talents. And he got rushed out of it a little bit, and he was going nowhere really. And I just found it quite sad that somebody of his ability, who clearly had something to offer the game, wasn't getting his due desserts.
Yeah, and John was actually on the transfer list, I think, when Brian Clough joined after Alan Brown had left, going back to January 75. And I think you sort of helped to bring John to Brian Clough's attention.
Yeah, I don't want to claim too much credit for it, but
no.
When Brian arrived on the scene after a few days, I don't know, it might have been a few weeks, he said to me, I remember the conversation, he said to me, can you mark Mercado about anybody? Because there's not too much happening around here. And I thought about it, obviously, because I didn't want to come up with wrong answers. And I said to him, well, there's a guy called John Robertson who's not been featuring, but he's got so much ability, but he's not been allowed to express it. And he didn't say anything at the time, Brian. He just sort of let the conversation drift. And I remember at the same time actually mentioning Tony Woodcock, who was either at Lincoln or Doncaster on loan. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
So long ago. But I was focused, I must admit, on Robo because he was my type of player. He just wanted to create all the time and play lovely little balls. And I thought, you know, I could watch you. And Brian never forgot it. He sort of, it was one of those things that he kept mentioning to me down the years. And particularly when Robo sort of obviously made it big time, huge time. And Robo never forgot it either. When we sort of met up after I'd sort of stopped working for the Evening Post and things like that, he would say, I've never forgotten, you know, what you did for me. And that was lovely, but I don't want to claim too much credit. I had an observation to make and I made it. And fortunately for me, it worked.
Yes. Unfortunately for Nottingham Forest, it certainly worked. And I know you're a modest man, just as John Robertson was as well. But I have found a cutting from January 1977, a long time ago now. And you're looking back...
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, you're looking at how Robertson is developing. And these are your words. It says, Clough recognised Robertson's natural flair and immediately utilised it in a side that at the time was not exactly overflowing with pure skill. And then not only has Robertson settled down as a winger, he's established himself as one of the game's most creative front players. And of course, it was switching him to that left wing, and he was actually able to influence a game there.
Yeah, I think what Brian came out with a famous line, he said, it's one of the most difficult places, apart from striker, which he was obsessed with, but it's one of the most difficult places to play in a football pitch because you're only playing on one side. You can only go one way. You can't go out because you'd be out of play.
Yeah.
And I think he realised pretty quickly that Robbo had the ability to deal with that. And he sort of, yeah, he just blossomed. Confidence was a big factor. When I first met John, he didn't have that much confidence. I think more born out of frustration and dejection, really, because he felt as if his career was going nowhere.
Yeah.
So the minute he got somebody like Brian Clough who had faith in him, it just started oozing out of John, and he loved playing football, and he just got better and better.
And in his column in the Football Post, 1977, Brian Clough writes that John originally seemed bitter about how he'd been treated, but now he says he's a great professional and he knows his importance to the side. And then a fantastic quote here, if anybody here is an automatic choice, it's John. And that's really high praise from someone like Cluffy, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. But, you know, there was no doubt that Robbo was a shining light. I think everybody that you'll speak to of a football sort of mind will say that he was the outstanding talent in the side. And, you know, when you look at the likes of Peter Shilton and Kenny Burns and Archie Gemmell and Gary Birtles and Tony Woodcock, and Robbo still stood out because of this creative ability he had. And he never used to miss matches, Marcus, either. That was a great thing about him. He sort of he was always available. And, I've always maintained that, although I'm a Newcastle fan, as you know, I've always maintained that Robbo's given me more pleasure than any other footballer I've seen.
Oh, amazing. I remember watching him on that left wing, and he could have two or three players marking him, but he always seemed to find a way either through them or round them. And it was just like watching a magician, wasn't it?
I think one of the defining things about him was his ability to play 2 or 3 yard balls and take people out of the game. Mm. I've never seen a player face short passes that would take people out of defenders out of the game. And it was an art, and other people couldn't do it, but Robbo did. Everybody talks about his sort of wing play and all that sort of thing. But Fluffy would, at times, would say to him, "John, stand still." He'd say to every player, "Stand still, stand still." And when Robbo had got a defender standing still, he was a nightmare for that defender. And quite often, he would play through people by just playing a simple 2 or 3 yard pass, which would get somebody else into space. When you've got people like Archie Gemmell and Tony Woodcock running ahead of you, it's a dream.
Yes. And, I mean, you mentioned it was an art. And Cluffy himself, in a famous quote, said he was the Picasso of our game. He became an artist with a football and a yard of grass in front of him. And I love the quote from John. It says, "I'm not sure I deserve that kind of accolade, but when I heard that kind of thing from him, I felt I could take on the world." And I guess it was that type of motivational encouragement that he wanted.
And I think one of the reasons why Brian used the Picasso analogy was because of what I've just mentioned, the pure entertainment value that he brought to people.
Yeah.
He was an artist at work. And, you know, whether it be a simple ball or a 30, 40-yard ball, it just oozed creativity. And there was just a sheer pleasure in watching that. And you never got fed up with it.
No, you wondered what he was going to do next and how he was going to beat his man or two or three men, and he always did. And, of course, he did that in the European Cup finals, creating the winning goal in 79 and scoring the winning goal himself in 1980. I know you're very modest yourself, but how did you feel watching those matches and what Robertson was doing on the highest stage, having seen him in those early days and thought there's something there?
I think it's fantastic, really, because deep down, Robbo was such a nice individual. I know we always speak nicely and kindly about people after they've sadly departed, but Robbo was genuinely a humble kind of person. And I think when you meet people like that in life and then you see them go on to do so well, it really tugs at your heartstrings a bit. I saw a tribute that was made to Robbo from Sean Dyche on Sky Sports, and he summed it up perfectly. Robbo's humility is his human aspect, and I thought it was just a really nice tribute to a nice person as much as a brilliant footballer.
Yes, a lovely person. I interviewed him a few times, probably not as many as you, but one of them was at the book launch for Supertramp, and I told him that all those years ago I'd waited outside the City Ground gates and got his autograph as he walked in, and then just as he was walking away, because I was a bit shy, I shouted after him, "You're my favourite player." And he turned round and gave me a smile and a sort of thumbs up, and all these years later, his first question was I all right with you? And I said, of course you were. Yeah, you were perfect. Yeah. You were perfect. And I think that sort of summed up. He wanted to make sure that he treated other people well. What was it like working with him on that book? I'm not saying this just because you're a guest on the show, but, you know, it's so well written and so well researched, but it covers his career and his personal life.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think one of the lasting things I'm going back to him remembering that I put a good word in for him with Brian, and he said to me, you know, if I ever get round to writing a book, I'd like you to do it. And he never forgot that. And when he finished playing and all the rest of it and decided that he wanted to do it, and I was really pleased because it was a labour of love for me to write about John Robertson.
Yes.
You know, he kept on apologising for me, saying that you're doing all the work here. And I said, don't be silly, I'm getting enough information out of you. Don't worry. It goes back to the point you've made, you know, are you all right?
Yeah.
He sort of wanted to make sure that he was giving value for money, for want of a better word.
Yes.
And he was brilliant. You know, he was a bit reticent with things that he didn't want to blow his own trumpet. He was never that type. And I always warn to people like that, because there's far too many people in life are of the other
yes
type. But Robbo was, he was just a gentleman to deal with. And it was an absolute pleasure to write the book. And I was delighted for him that it did so well.
Yes, yes, it certainly did. And one thing I have to mention, of course, Brian Clough often used to joke about Robertson's appearance, which is where the title came from, Supertramp. But the truth is, he thought the world of him, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, he used to criticise players beyond belief, but then he had this amazing ability to sort of lift them off the floor. But I think players, as years went by, realised that the stick that he gave out was a means of getting the best out of them, because one word of praise would sort of, you know, they'd go through the roof, you know. And he did that. I've seen him do that with so many players over the years. And I mean sort of like young players who weren't even in the first team or the reserves even. I've seen young lads sort of ooze confidence all of a sudden out of being on the floor just because he said a couple of words of praise.
Just looking at his international career, there's a column by you, April 76, this is, Press Box View, and it questions why Robertson hadn't at that stage had full international recognition with Scotland. I think Don Revie had invited him for an England get-together by mistake. Mm. And you say, in the light of that, I find it slightly bewildering that, to the best of my knowledge, the Scotland boss, Willie Ormond, has not taken a look at Robertson. And it took a little while, didn't it, for him to get that recognition?
No, it did. And I think a lot of Scottish players since have recounted the fact that Robbo didn't get the number of caps he deserved.
Mm.
You know, for somebody of his ability, he should be nearing three figures. And I think I read somewhere the other day where Graham Souness was talking about him and saying how what a talent he was. And he did it at the highest stage with Forest. You know, those games against Liverpool, you don't get any harder games in international football than those. And Robbo stood out. He was just a genius.
Yes.
And I did find it bewildering that he didn't win recognition earlier than he did. But it was the number of caps. As I say, he should have been 70, 80, 90 caps. You know, he was that good.
Yes, he was. I think he was 28 caps in the end. It's also been said that if he'd been perhaps at a more fashionable club, he'd have also featured in the running for European Footballer of the Year. And when you look back, he wasn't even in the top 30 in 1979, which was won by Kevin Keegan, or in 1980.
Mm.
I think Manny Kaltz of Hamburg finished 10th that year in 1980, and he'd beaten both of them. How do you feel about that? Do you think it's because it was Forest?
Well, it didn't stop the likes of Peter Shilton and that gaining recognition, but it was a travesty that Robbo wasn't better thought of. But I think what's happened is that since he stopped playing, his lot has grown, if you like.
Yes.
And he's sort of, I think people have really come to appreciate how talented he was. And I'm talking people not just Joe Public. I'm talking about people within the game.
Yes.
And every time you hear people talk about John Robertson now, it's, well, what a super talent he was.
Yeah.
And I think he's a classic case of he didn't get the credit he deserved when he was playing, but he's had it since.
Yes. I think Clough has said something similar about his own career sometimes, about, you know, you get the accolades after you've stopped. But it's nice that this recognition is there for him now. Looking back, I saw a column here, April 76 again, and your final paragraph is quite prophetic, really. It says, "I have always had special admiration for Robertson's skills and hope that he remains a part of the Forest setup for some time to come." Well, thankfully he was, and thanks to you as well, John, for being there for him, really, and fighting his corner. And it's been a joy listening to your memories.
Thanks, Marcus. I'd just like to say that finally that I'll just reiterate that nobody has given me more pleasure than Robbo watching over the years, and it's something I'll take to the grave as well.
Yes, a big thank you to John Lawson for a special tribute to the genius of John Robertson. And to close this episode, I'd like to play a short extract of my interview with Robbo for the Green Jumper. He wasn't in the best of health at the time, but he was still kind, polite, and so humble. I'll never forget those precious 20 minutes we had together, chatting with a football hero I'd loved to watch when I was a boy. As the interview came to an end, we talked about his teammate Martin O'Neill and how they'd later formed a fantastic managerial partnership. He remained as modest as ever. And just coming on to Martin, I interviewed him a few weeks ago. Did you ever think in those days that you'd go into management?
No, I didn't, although the outcome of it since has been that he was excellent at the job. Top-class manager.
But you were important as well, putting your arms around the players and getting, you know, getting them on side.
Yeah, but he made all the decisions. And it's not easy making decisions having to win football matches. But he was very good at it. He was really good, Martin.
Yeah, he has some fond memories of you as well. Do you get to see him much?
Yeah, I meet occasionally. Not every day, because he lives in London. I live here, but keep in touch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember standing at the City Ground gates in the early 80s on my own, and you were walking in on your own, and I asked for your autograph, and I told you you were my favourite player, and you signed my autograph book, and you're still my favourite player.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for all the great memories.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking.
All the best.
Thanks very much.
Robbo was genuinely a humble kind of person, and I think when you meet people like that in life, and then you see them go on to do so well, it really tugs at your heartstrings a bit.
John went on to prove himself and win at the very, very highest level and win the big medals, scoring in the European Cup final, making a goal in the previous one. He was a magician, you know, really, really, really great player.
John Robertson, I'm telling you, with his left foot, he could perform on any stage in the world.
Robbo was one of these players who would always receive the ball, no matter how tight he was being marked, he was always available.
John and I had a good relationship. John's career had finished, but John was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. Great, not just with myself, but he was also very, very, very good with the players as well.
The minute he got somebody like Brian Clough who had faith in him, it just started oozing out of John and he just got better and better.
Whereas I could stay a little bit more away from the players or a little bit more aloof from them, John could integrate and they had great trust in him.
Nobody has given me more pleasure than Robbo watching over the years, and it's something I'll take to the grave as well.
Thank you for listening, and thank you to John Robertson for those wonderful memories. Our thoughts are with his family and friends.